Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Well, I wonder if I can ask for your attention to return to the front. Thank you. What a time we've had, and I believe God's spoken to us loudly and clearly, especially through Yoel's amazing testimony. That was just brilliant. Thank you. We're going to reflect a bit more on some of what he said, and to do so from the passage that Aaron read earlier, or rather just from the end of it. So I'm going to read the last three verses of Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll think about that together. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'd like to stop by telling you about a sort of friend of mine. I say she's a sort of friend of mine. First slide, please, Kevin. She's actually married to a cousin of mine, so that's the nature of the relationship. Her name is called Robin. She's about my age. And about 10 years ago, she had a change of career. She'd been a publisher, and she edited books. In fact, I think she wrote a number of children's books. But she decided she'd like to do something different, and she took a training course in becoming a potter. You can see her here holding one of her pots. And then on the right-hand side, you can see her actually with the clay on her wheel, a little workshop that she and my cousin have built at the end of their garden, making one of her pots. And actually, she made pots of all shapes and sizes. So if we go on to the next slide, you can see there's quite an array there. I didn't know this before, that there's a shop in town that actually sells them, and they're quite expensive because they're really very special, made out of porcelain. Really all different kinds and shapes, as you can see. And it's a lovely thing to be able to do as not just a business, but also a vocation, creating all sorts of different things. And you know, as human beings, we also have a creator. None of us made ourselves. Now, you may say that's very obvious. None of us could come to be without mother and father. But I mean, even before that, beyond that, beneath that, around that, the Bible tells us what we sometimes wonder about and are not sure about, tells us very clearly that each of us has a creator God, the same creator God who has made us, that we've been made by God and not by ourselves. Now, this is something which strikes a certain amount of awe into our minds and hearts as we think about it. That our origins in that sense are not mysterious, they're known, and that a great being of infinite intelligence and power and love and wisdom has made us. I wonder if you've ever thought about yourself that way and just pondered it. But you didn't come about by chance. The particular person that you are didn't come about by chance either. Because it's not that God makes a batch of all the same kinds of human being. He shapes each of us individually. That was what I liked about that slide, with the collection of all the different things. God makes each of us individually. This morning we've been focusing rightly on a very special person, Yoel. God has made Yoel who he is. But it's true of each of us. The uniqueness that we are as persons is something which God has designed and brought about and given to us. It's a stunning thought. Just ponder it for a moment. And think again that you're not just the product of chance, but the product of a purpose, and a designer, and a craftsman, and someone of infinite love. When my cousin's wife Robin is making her pots, sometimes things don't go very well. Next slide, Kevin. And the clay just doesn't cooperate, and it gets into a kind of messy shape, and sometimes I think she and other potters are able to make it, to alter that and to get it into the right kind of shape. Sometimes they just have to screw it all up and start again. And the problem with us is that we make a mess out of what God has given to us. That we're all quite mixed individuals. There is what God has planned and directed and created and made, but there's also something within us which we inherit and then which develops through our lives, more or less, in different ways. But it's that principle of thinking that we know better than God. Yoel was so honest, wasn't he, about how he'd taken the iPad into the bathroom, although he'd been told repeatedly and clearly, and with good reasons, why that was not a good idea. And that kind of principle of not listening and of not obeying God is something which is deeply ingrained in each of us. And so on the one hand, though we're amazing and miraculous creatures designed by God and created by God, there is something within us which God didn't put within us. We inherited it and we've allowed it to grow. Which means that actually we haven't become on our own what God would have wanted us to be, because we've resisted that. We've repeatedly taken the iPad into the bathroom and watched it crack. You're thinking, oh, I'm not such a bad person. Really, when your conscience troubles you, how many people's lives have you hurt, not just by accident, but either by neglect or sometimes actually deliberately? And you've just wondered, why am I so mean in that moment? Where does that come from? Tell me you've never felt that or experienced that and then been deeply ashamed. Why was I so cutting? Why didn't I say the kind word? Why didn't I do that? What is it about me? And you instantly try to improve things and kind of make yourself into the right kind of pot, but actually there's clay going all over the place inside and you don't know where it comes from, and you're worried that you won't be able to change it next time, and then you can't the next time. However hard you've tried, the iPad still goes into the bathroom, it still ends up on the floor and cracked. And you're just saying, where does that come from? Why am I like this? You see, we didn't make ourselves, but we have unmade ourselves. But the great good news of the Christian gospel is that God does something about that, and he steps in. And the message of this passage, at its most simple, is that there is a salvation that comes all from God. We haven't made ourselves, we have unmade ourselves, but we are saved by God, not ourselves. And the passage just emphasizes this again and again and again, that it comes from God. It comes to us When, as far as God is concerned, we regarded him as someone who was irrelevant or dead or a nuisance. We certainly didn't want anything to do with him. And his grace comes to us. We become aware of him. And we become aware of a free gift of salvation. The writer just wants to make it so very clear. It's by grace. That's something which is free, not paid for. At least not by the recipient. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. The clay can't reshape itself, but God can, and he does in what Christ has done. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, it's not by works. Do you see? Well, when we become aware of that twisted principle within, that we are scared of and do our very best to kind of keep a lid on, but actually we know we can't change it, or we wonder if we might be able to change it. Now I'm going to try harder. I'm really going to try harder next time. I might even start going to church. I mean, that would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? And that would please God. And I'll give a bit more to charity this Christmas, and I'll be really, really, really scrupulous in making sure the recycling stuff goes in the blue bin and I don't get it muddled up with the black bin. I am going to take that holiday but fly, but I'm going to offset this time. And we do things either to try and change ourselves or to try to please God. And maybe even please others, and impress others, to show that we're good people and moral people. But the trouble is, it just doesn't work. That principle within continues to operate and erupts again at different times. And, oh man, what is it with me? But the Bible says that Jesus Christ has come into this world for people who can't save themselves, and come into this world to save them. There are all sorts of different pictures that are used for that salvation. One is to say that Jesus has paid a price for us. We owed God because we've let him down so badly, but Jesus has paid the price. Another is the picture of punishment, that actually we deserve God's punishment, just as we would if we'd broken the law of the land and we were up in court. Well, we've broken the law of God's universe and we would be in his court one day, but Jesus has been in his court, and Jesus has been punished in our place. Another picture the Bible uses is of a gift. And salvation, which means complete free forgiveness, a place in God's family, and eternal life, so that we will physically die, but then we will enjoy life forever with God. All those things are offered to us, not for whatever we think we could pay for them, but completely and utterly free. Now, at Christmas, almost all the time, we're giving presents to other people who also give presents to us as a kind of mutuality, a reciprocity about it. That's how it works, isn't it? It can feel a bit odd if someone's given you a present and you haven't given them a present, or someone sent you a Christmas card and you haven't sent one. You rush out quickly and send one and hope that they don't think that you realise that you hadn't sent them one in the first place. But with God, there is the biggest gift of all, and it comes entirely free. And there is nothing that we give in return to receive it. We just say thank you, and we take it. We say, please forgive me because of Jesus' death. We say, please save me from hell so I can go to heaven because of Jesus' resurrection. Please take over my life. I haven't been living it very well. I want you to be in charge. All those things come to us as the most wonderful gift. And with it comes recreation. We're saved by God, not ourselves. And then he starts to remake us. If you like, once the out-of-shape ball of clay has been forgiven for what it's got wrong, at that point then, God, who has already been at work in the heart to enable us to believe, just starts reshaping us. And making us into what he always wanted us to be. Verse 10, we are God's handiwork. And at this point, he is not thinking so much of the original creation, although that is in the background. He is thinking of the new creation. It's in that verse that Anna read. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. They are part of God's new creation. that he has begun in his church in this world. He starts again with us and starts to make us into the people he always intended us to be. Yoel, this is you this morning. God has made you, and God is remaking you. You are a very special person. That's why so many people have wanted to be here for your baptism. You're even more special to God himself. God himself is already at work since you allowed Jesus into your heart, and he is remaking you. And what does that mean? It means that there are things that you do, which are good things, which God has always planned. You're in your mid-teens now. You have many decades ahead of you. Who knows what your life will be, just as none of us know what our life will be. But God is the potter, and he is making you into the most special piece of restored porcelain pottery. People are going to look at you and the good works that God has done in you, and they're going to say, that is just amazing. And they're already doing that. And that can be true for any of us. It's what God wants to offer to all of us this Christmas. A free salvation so that we're saved by God and not ourselves. A recreation so that we can be the people that he always intended us to be, and actually the people that deep down we're wired to want to be. True fulfillment is found in Christ Jesus and nowhere else. And you know, all of that will be his workmanship and not ours. Let's have that slide up again, Kevin. I chose this one because if you turn over one of the pots or other things, no, the last one, his workmanship, not ours. Thank you. If you turn it over, you can see, we probably can't quite see, but in the middle there's a square, and it's like a kind of something that's been impressed in. And I think there's, you should be able to see an R and an H. That's very simple. It just stands for Robin Hardiman. She leaves her mark on everything that she's made. Jesus Christ is leaving his mark on everyone that he has made and is recreating. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you've noticed something that's a bit different about the Christian people that you know. I mean, you know they're not perfect because nobody's perfect, but there is something that's just a bit different, and you're kind of wondering, what is that? That thing that's a bit different about them is that they have a mark on them too. It doesn't say RH on it. If you like, there's a JC, which means Jesus Christ. Now, they're not perfect. The project is underway. It's not completed yet. But what you are seeing or sensing or feeling is the mark of Jesus Christ in their lives. They would be the first people to say to you, I didn't make myself. I unmade myself, and I made myself into a real mess, but God saved me, not myself. Now, he's recreating me. They'd be the first to say, this is all about God. They would be the first not to want to boast because they know that it's all come from Christ. But they would be pointing to him. And what they'd love to be able to explain to you more is just what a difference it makes to have that mark, that imprint, that recreation going on. It doesn't take away all of life's problems, but it does put them in a very different perspective. It changes something as big as your view of death and your view of judgment after death and gives you an entirely new perspective on that. It changes your present experience and your attitude to all sorts of things like relationships and work, like money and so many of the ordinary things in life. It means that they're all seen as God's good gifts and to be used for him, which is the way all those things were designed for in the first place. Perhaps above all, what it gives is the knowledge that all the times when we've smashed the iPad, when we've smashed someone else's iPad, when we've done it negligently and deliberately, and we know we can't put it right, and we've done that to God himself, leaving him out of our lives, that all of that is dealt with, that the guilt is removed, and that therefore we can go through life guilt-free and trusting a heavenly Father. If you're not yet a Christian this morning and you're hearing this perhaps for the first time with some clarity, perhaps you've heard it many times, I just want to encourage you. If you're sensing that there is some good news here, just to feel about things, and maybe some of what I've said and some of the words and ideas expressed in the service, maybe it's not quite locking together and pieces of a jigsaw, but maybe you're just getting the outside bit of the jigsaw, and you can see that, yes, there is a way of understanding and seeing God in the world that's different. I want to say to you, press on to the next stage. Why not try praying? Why not try a prayer that served many people well and just say, in the quiet moment we have at the end of the service, or maybe when you get home, you could just say, okay, God, maybe there's something here. Why don't you show me? That's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. It may be that it would be good for you actually just to read a bit of the Bible and just to find out more. Search it out for yourself. You can do that in the course that we offer. We'd be happy to give you a Bible to enable you to do that. The books that Mike was talking about. It sounded a bit like that choice in The Matrix, doesn't it? The blue pill and the red pill, the red bag and the green bag. Well, don't worry. With our bags and our colours, either way you find Christ. I hope you'll take them and I hope you'll read them. Maybe check out some more of our sermons online. Get in touch with us. We'd love to be able to answer your questions or try to and work through them through with you. What I hope so much that you've received from this morning is that there is a greater purpose at work in your life than you'd previously understood. And that greater purpose is the purpose of a good God who has sent his Son to live and to die for you. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. It's not an accident that you're watching at home from those many places in the world. God has planned all of that. He has planned for you this morning to hear that he wants to know you. He wants you to come to him. I remember a number of years ago, there was a visiting preacher for some meetings, a man called Michael, and my then colleague Tom and I went and we took him out for an evening meal in the old Eden building, which was a restaurant then, as I think it is again now. And the waitress came over, and Michael was taking charge. I think he insisted on paying, which suited us very well, and he looked at the menu and looked up at the waitress, and he said, you know, what this menu has got on it is just really good news. But I've even better news for you. And the waitress looked at me and Tom slightly anxiously, and we looked at her slightly anxiously because we weren't used to doing this kind of thing. And he said, there is a living God, and he loves you. That's what I want you to hear this morning. There is good news in this world. There is a living God, and he loves you. He then went on when we were, well, he was paying the bill, but I was next to him at the till, and he was paying his bill, and he looked at this other bloke who was behind the till, and he said, oh, hello. Now, I just want to tell you something. If you ever want to check out the Christian faith and go to a really good church, there's one down the road, and this is Mr. Hardiman, and he's the pastor there, and he will help you. And again, I looked slightly awkward, but did my best to look inviting as the guy looked at me slightly awkwardly. There are lots of churches in Cambridge and in other places where you can check this out. But we are one of them. And we would so love to be able to help you go further. Let's pray for a minute and we'll sing our last song. We thank you, Lord, for your message of grace. We thank you that you have made us, and though we've unmade ourselves, you have saved us through Christ, or you can save us through Christ if we will ask. We thank you that you are recreating us and that we are your workmanship. Thank you, Lord. Amen.